It's great to see everyone. Chantal, Valerie, and Ate, we're going to miss you guys. Pray for us as we continue to pray for you and have a great impact in the new ministries that you guys are now a part of. Valerie and Ate have moved up to Yonkers, so they're now going to be in the Westchester region of the New York City Church of Christ. But you guys are just down the road. It's going to be great to see you very soon. We're going to continue tonight as we've been looking at the book of Hebrews. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6. The general theme of Hebrews is keep your eyes on Jesus, no turning back. All this stuff is all background, written to Jewish Christians who are thinking of going back to Judaism. The key verses are Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6, and Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 3. And so tonight we're going to get into Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to talk about pilgrims making progress. The Bible describes that you and I as Christians were pilgrims on this earth. And chapter 6, actually starting at the end of chapter 5, which we're going to look at in just a second, and chapter 6 talks about the progress that you and I need to be making as we make our way back towards God, that we can't go back to Egypt, we can't go back to the world where we came from, we got to be going forward. So tonight we're going to talk about pilgrims making progress. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, so I'm going to back up and start over there tonight. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. It says, and I'm reading from the Message version, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. The Hebrew writer says, I have a lot more to say about this, but it is hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you, you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God again, starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. Sandwich right here in the end of chapter 5 to chapter 6, between after I started talking about Jesus being our great high priest, he starts talking about how the Christians at that time, needed to grow up. They needed to really think about where they were spiritually and how they were doing. And he rebukes them, really, in this passage I just read, talking about how they're still on baby milk instead of being on solid food. And so I want to talk very briefly about the marks of spiritual dullness. The marks of spiritual dullness. In verse 11, it says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Okay? In verse 12, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. It's telling them that they're spiritually dull. Okay? The word translated dull in Hebrews 5:11 is the English word slothful. And dullness refers to a spiritual apathy and laziness that prevents spiritual development. You and I remember that the Hebrew writers talked about drifting from the word in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. And then after that, they started doubting the word. We talked about that in Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 7. And that got covered till, chapter 4, verse 13. Now, as a result of their spiritual dullness, they're not listening. And it usually starts by when we start hearing the word of God and we start filtering what the messenger is saying. we start filtering what the speaker is saying. Instead of focusing on what they're saying and the challenge they're bringing from the Word of God and the conviction that we need to be getting from what is being preached, we start focusing on the messenger. We start saying things like, well, I don't like the way he said that. Why did he even say that? Why did he bring that up? If you're like that, be very, very careful. You become spiritually dull. When you start focusing on the messenger instead of listening to the message. Like I said in my sermon on Sunday, you know, sometimes Christians will say, oh, you're putting pressure on me. And I said in my lesson on Sunday, I'm not putting any pressure on anybody because, you know, you don't see my name next to this book on anything. I'm just a messenger. And you got to be careful that you are not trying to shoot the messenger instead of listening to what God is trying to tell you. You know, it is God through the Holy Spirit who wrote down this book through many individuals over hundreds of years. And so I caution us, because if you start having problems, quote unquote, with the way in your mind you feel the message is being preached, your problem is not with the messenger. Your problem is with God. Your problem is where your heart is. And that's what you need to go take a look at and really walk out, because Satan will use it against you every single time. You know, I've been a Christian now almost 35 years. And I remember when I made the decision to go into the ministry. Again, it wasn't as if I was volunteering, you know. The elders called me to a meeting in Boston and asked me to consider, you know, the ministry. And I lacked the faith at the time. I remember crying all the way back to my apartment that night. And the next day they called me and said, you know, give it a try. And here I am, over 32 years later, still doing the same thing. I say all that to say, my job as an evangelist is twofold. Is to continue to preach the word and to continue to entrust this Bible and God's church to people, to reliable men and women who are going to continue to teach others. And so it's not just preaching. I got to continue to raise people up, because I'm very aware of the fact that I'm not going to be alive forever. We got to pass this stuff down. Very, very important. And as a result of that, I am going to address the whole will of God. If the Bible says it, I am going to teach it. I am going to emphasize it. I'm going to call us to it as a church. That's what Paul did in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. When he got with the Ephesian elders and he says, you know what? I have resolved to teach you the whole will of God. He goes on to say, you know what? I want to be innocent of the blood of all men. Because brothers and sisters, I want us to remember that, you know, one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my stewardship on this earth. That is why if the Bible says it, I am going to preach about it. I'm going to call us to it. I'm never going to apologize for what the Bible teaches. That's not going to happen. Not on my watch. If the Bible says it, I'm going to call us to it. And so I'm asking you tonight, how is it going sharing what you know? From your personal Bible study. You know, I remember as a young Christian, within the first 3 months of me getting baptized, I read the entire New Testament. Nobody asked me to do it. I couldn't get enough of it. And then when I finished the entire New Testament, I went into the Old Testament. I started reading from Genesis, and then I went to Exodus. And I remember when I got to, you know, Leviticus and seeing all the laws, I was like, wow. So I jumped, and I think I came into Psalms. But I read the entire Old Testament also, because I wanted to know more about this God. I wanted to draw close to God. It is very, very important. I remember I went into a store and I bought some index cards. And I started in Matthew and I started trying to do my own concordance. because I didn't even know at the time that there was a concordance at the back of my Bible. And so when I came up across a major word like faith, I'll put it down, I'll put the reference. And I kept on going until the brother who reached out to me came in one day and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Look at this, look at what I'm doing." And he goes, "Hey, look at the back of your Bible, it's in there already." And then that Sunday, I remember, he went in to the bookstore and bought me a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Back then, if you had a Thompson Chain, it was like somebody giving you gold. Now, today, we have so many resources. And so I'm sharing all of this stuff because, brothers and sisters, you've heard me say this before a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again. A.W. Tozer said, "Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be." You and I have got to be digging in daily into God's word. Very, very important. We can't afford to get dull. And so again, I'm asking you, how's your Bible study going? Or are you still on baby food? How often do you get in there and do some in-depth studies? I'm not talking of studies you're going to do in 1 or 2 days. It may take you weeks. It may take you months. It's okay. That's how you develop conviction. And not getting dull by just simply reading and just going haphazard. I'm just flipping your Bible. Okay, let's see what's going to happen today. You can't do that. You're going to have a plan. You're going to have a strategy. Very, very important. Very often people will call me and ask questions about different issues or different topics. And if it's a young Christian, I would take the time to refer them to several scriptures and try and help them, you know, understand whatever it is they don't really understand. I'll do that for young Christians. But when an older Christian calls me and is asking me questions, my first question always is, "Have you studied it out yourself?" And it's always amazing to me. A lot of people say, "No, I haven't." I say, "Well, go study it out first. And then you and I can talk about it." Because I don't want to give them all the answers. And it's always amazing to me how, you know, A few weeks goes by, and then I'll ask the person, "Have you studied that stuff out?" So, "Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, I've answered my own question." And all of a sudden now, it's their conviction because they saw it themselves. Brothers and sisters, we have so many resources today. And you know that, you know, we're a church, we don't mince words. The Bible is very clear about who is saved and who is lost. The Bible is very clear about how one becomes a Christian. The Bible is very clear about the kind of marriages we need to have and about how we need to be parents. And we are not going to apologize for it. You know, I saw this the other day. I thought it was very interesting. And so I want to put it up here. It says, if Jesus preached the same message ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. That was said by a man named Leonard Ravenhill. Because the Bible is very blunt. And I'm so thankful that I'm in a fellowship where we continue to preach the word of God. Again, people often ask me, "How come you're in this church?" I tell them it's not a perfect church, but this is the closest thing I have found to what the Bible teaches. Yes, there are a few churches that teach Acts 2:38 that you have to repent and get baptized to be saved. There are very few, okay? But a lot of times people don't go beyond that. But I praise God that as a church, we're going to continue to call people to what the Bible teaches, and we are not going to apologize for it. It's not going to happen, okay? Again, hey, it's also very interesting.
Richard, can you reshare your screen?
Went to church, heard the truth, and wept over their sins. Today, people go to church, hear a motivational speech, and ignore their sins. That's what Ron Smith said not too long ago. So we're talking about the call to spiritual maturity. That's what we're talking about tonight. You see, we all come into this world as babies. None of us was born as an adult. Babies are meant to grow and to learn to walk and talk. The same thing is true, spiritually speaking. We need to learn to grow. We learn the spiritual ABCs, if you will. Now it's time to go on to maturity. So look down with me in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning verse 1. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because through their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public distress. Land that drinks in the rain often falls on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed in the end. It will be burned. It will be burned. I'm sorry, could you say that again? Okay. All right, thank you. My wife was just sending me a message. Where was I? Verse eight. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as we have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So let's talk about spiritual maturity. We got to get back into the word. Mark Twain once said, most people are bothered by those passages of scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are those I do understand. Another writer, Alcee Sproul, said, here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. Brothers and sisters, there's no reason for any of us to be lazy when it comes to studying God's word. You know, we have so many resources today, it's not even funny, where you can pick up all kinds of apps, all kinds of tools on your smartphone or your computer. And back in the day, you had to look things up. Today, you know, Google or Siri or Alexa would do the work for you, where you can easily ask, you know, where's the passage that says this? And, you know, Google will tell you. And so I say all that to say we have no reason not to be having great Bible study. I'm going to show you something. Many, many years ago, I bought this at a conference, and I still use it every single day. It's an exhaustive NIV concordance. And when I'm looking for a passage, when I'm looking for a word, and I'm looking for a reference, I pull it out. It's very useful. And so, again, I want to encourage us to invest in our Bible study. Because, again, we're talking about investing in our eternity. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that it is the word of God that brought us into the church. And guess what? It is the same word of God that's going to keep us in it. Okay? So I want to share with you right now some basic things I do when I'm reading my Bible. And I've been doing it now for over 35 years. But these are some of the questions I ask myself. Okay? All you need to remember is space pets. Okay? That's the acronym. Space pets. I ask myself 9 questions as I read my Bible. I ask myself, is there one a sin to confess or repent of. Number two, I ask myself, is there a promise to claim in the passage that I'm reading? And that's why when I'm reading my Bible, I have my notebook, okay, right next to me. Okay, this is my notebook. When I go through it, I buy another one, okay? But I write this stuff down because I'm not going to remember. So I ask myself, is there a sin to confess or repent of? You can take a picture of this. I ask myself, is there a promise to claim? I ask myself, is there an attitude to change as a result of what I'm reading? Again, I ask myself, is there a command to obey? The next thing I do, again, I'm doing all this subconsciously. Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? Is there an error to avoid or warning to heed? Is there a truth to believe? And finally, is there something to praise or thank God for? So I ask myself these 9 questions as I'm reading my Bible. Okay? I want to encourage you to do the same. I think it would deepen your Bible study. It would help you get a lot more from your personal Bible study. Okay? Here are some topics to study out and develop deep convictions on. Okay? The role of men and women in the church. Study it out. It's very fascinating. Now, again, let me encourage you. You're not going to get this done in 24 hours. You're not going to get it done in 2 days. It's going to take you a few weeks, but it's okay. But by the time you're done, you're going to have some really deep convictions. I encourage you to go study out the final judgment. I remember doing that when I lost my mother in September 1992, 6 months after my wife and I got married. I sat down, it took me weeks, and I studied it out. It was very comforting. Study out is hell, a perpetual place of punishment by fire. It's all in the book. Don't just assume you know this stuff. Don't just listen to me. Don't just listen to any preacher. Get into the Word of God. Study out, do all roads lead to heaven? You'll find out for yourself. Study out. Will you have a body on the other side? Are you guys hearing me? Okay, I'm gonna escape. There's something going on here.
We hear you. We hear you, but we don't see your screen share.
You don't see my screen share at all?
No.
Wow. Okay. Let's try that again. Sorry. So all this time you haven't seen anything?
Not since the start. Sorry.
Since the start?
We had to take it down because someone was like writing on your screen.
Okay. I saw that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You took it down without telling me.
Sorry.
No problem. Okay. Let's see what happens. What is this? The answer. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. Do you see this? Jimmy, talk to me. Can you see this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. And so let me go back because this was very important. Did you guys get a chance to see this? You didn't see this?
We didn't see anything except like your first slide.
Okay. This is the space pets I was just referring to. Okay, guys? If you can take a picture of this, I apologize. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude to change? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? Is there an error to avoid or warning to heed? Is there a truth to believe? And is there something to praise or thank God for? Okay? Are you with me? All right? And so I started to talk about how these are some topics that you can study out and gain some deep convictions about the role of men and women in the church. Final judgment is hell, a perpetual place of punishment by fire. Okay? Will we have a body on the other side? The Bible says, yes, we will. Okay? We're not going to be ghosts. We're going to have a body. But you can study it out in scripture. You can study out why so much suffering in the world. I talked about this with the brothers last week. Okay? Study out, our same-sex marriage is biblical. The Bible is very clear. But go ahead and study it out so that you can have conviction. Jimmy, don't worry about the lines, okay? That doesn't bother me because my notes are at the bottom of the screen, all right? And then also study out, can people in paradise see what transpires on earth? It's in the scriptures. You know, every once in a while, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, my dad is looking down upon us and, you know, mommy's up there looking down at us. I don't think so. I don't think so. Not from my Bible study. People that have gone on to paradise, they can't see what's going on here. They can't. But I can say that with you with confidence because I've studied my Bible. I got my facts and my conviction from what I studied out. It's not just emotion. And so when people use scriptures, you know, it's like, no, that's not what it's saying. What's the context? But it's very important that the more you get into the Bible, the deeper your convictions are going to become. Okay? So let's go back to Hebrews 6. In Hebrews 6, it starts talking about falling away in verse 6. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. All right? What does it mean here when it says, you know what? That if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Okay? This passage clearly refutes this whole idea of once saved, always saved doctrine. Okay? It is possible for somebody to fall away. All right? Now, I think as a fellowship, we need to decide to stop using that word falling away loosely. Because according to this passage, when somebody truly falls away, they can't come back. And you and I know of a lot of disciples that struggle in their faith, and at some point they leave God, but then at some point they're restored. And it's always exciting to see people come back. It's always exciting to see people restored to the fellowship. And we can't just say, oh, you know, this one has fallen away, because you really don't know. Yeah, I think it's okay to say they've left the church, or we can say they've left our fellowship, because falling away, the way the Bible uses it in Hebrews, you can't come back from it. You cannot come back. It says here that it's impossible for them to be brought back to repentance. And so instead of using that word, literally fall away, I want to encourage us to say, you know what? The person has left. They've left our fellowship. Or they no longer come. They're no longer on our membership. Because falling away is a hard thing to do, because it says here that people like that cannot come back. Okay? Now, it is a warning that as you keep on drifting, you don't want to get to the point where you totally leave God such that you cannot come back. All right? You see, the problem is, I think, the way we look at salvation sometimes. Salvation, brothers and sisters, is not a one-time event, okay? Yes, you and I were baptized on a particular day. I was baptized June 1st of 1986 in Gainesville, Florida, during the evening service. Back then, we used to have morning service, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday night, midweek. I had a Bible talk on campus, and then I had a Friday night devotional for campus students. And I couldn't wait to get to every activity. So I was baptized. I became a new creation. I came into the kingdom of God on June 1st of 1986 during the evening service. But you see, the Bible also tells me to continue to walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, I received the forgiveness of sins. And God's Holy Spirit started dwelling inside of me, and the same thing happened for you the day you were baptized. Okay? But salvation is a process that's only going to get completed after you and I get up to heaven. Okay? We're not done yet. We're still on the way. So in other words, salvation is both an event and it's also a journey, such that you and I are actively moving toward the goal of seeing God one day on the other side. Okay? Very, very important. I need to keep going here. Keys to remaining faithful. Let me talk about this very quickly. Again, we're being encouraged not to be dull, but to really get into scripture. But here are some ways that I feel we can remain faithful and remain mature. First of all, we've got to become mature by getting into the scriptures and then living out what we are studying out and what we are learning. Where we need to listen to the word of God and godly advice, okay? Where we're partaking of solid spiritual food. In other words, where there's continuous spiritual training going on. You know, at the end of last year, I encouraged us to get back into, you know, iron sharpening iron relationships. I hope we've all done so, okay? You're not going to make it on your own. If we're a couple, I encourage us to, you know, pair up with another couple. How's that going? You're not going to make it on your own. I'm so thankful that there are people involved in my life who, when they see something, they call me out. They love me enough to tell me the truth. That, Richard, I noticed this. We need that. And I've been around a long time, and I still need help. You need the same help too. The training is continuous. The training is constant. As we keep going, as we keep learning, where we are avoiding laziness, where we are growing our faith. Again, the more you get into the Bible, the more your faith increases. Where you and I are growing the fruits of the Spirit, like patience. It's a journey that we're on. But we got to be careful that we don't get dull. Satan wants us to get dull. Satan wants us to get so busy that we don't have time to read the word of God, because you cannot practice what you don't know. It is so, so important that we do not take this lightly. You know, again, I heard one time that Satan doesn't care if you're reading the Bible or not, as long as you're not practicing it. But it's important that we get into the Bible on a daily basis. You know, I thank God for Zoom. I thank God for all this technology. But God willing, very soon, I don't know when, but in the next several months, as we all getting vaccinated and we develop herd immunity, we're going to be back together again in the fellowship, face to face. You need to start practicing now for midweek service and Sunday service together in person. You can't wait until, oh, we're going to have, you know, service next Sunday. All of a sudden now, you've been waking up like 5 minutes before 11 and just turned your YouTube on and you're in bed listening to the sermon. You're not going to be able to do that in a few months. You need to start practicing. You need to start, you know, getting up by the time you need to get up so that you can get to church on time. So you can get your family ready, get them dressed. Remember to factor in the time it's going to take you to get to the church building. But we need to start practicing now and get out of this habit that, you know, we are now involved in, because, you know, church is now on our screens and we don't have to travel very far. But now is the time to start making those changes. Because it's going to be very challenging for some of us if you're going to wait until, oh, quote unquote, oh yeah, we're meeting back at Hanson Place on Sunday. We start practicing now. We start getting out of those habits now. Okay? The Christian race is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We got to always take the long view. We got to keep on praying. We got to keep on fighting. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting against the devil. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I talked about it on Sunday. Reaching out to people is one of the ways in which we put on that armor. When you and I share our faith, it helps us. It's always amazing to me when I'm studying the Bible with somebody, I realize, you know what? My problems compared to what this person is going through is nothing. That's one of the ways in which we fight against the devil is by spreading the gospel. You know, Mike Facy sent me an email this afternoon of a gentleman that was baptized in New York City church 20 years ago. And then he left. And he's been wanting to come back. And he's been listening to us on Sundays via YouTube. And he reached out through our web portal. I understand he lives in Williamsburg, in here in Brooklyn, you know. And I'm looking forward to talking to him. I called him this afternoon. He was in a doctor's office, but I intend to call him back. Because you never know. It's a journey. And we just got to keep on going. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to continue going and getting deeper in our Bible study. Somebody said, success doesn't come from what you do occasionally, but what you do consistently. We're very familiar with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. It says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. That's my class for tonight. I hope this has been helpful. If I can ask Claudie Randolph to lead us in a closing prayer, and then we're going to go into our breakout rooms, and let's have a great time of fellowship. Please turn your camera on as we have a great time of fellowship together. Claudie Randolph.